story time, kids. A long time ago, the supernatural community was mostly monsters that go bump in the night. They tended to step on the little people as well. This got the attention of the Van Helsings, monster hunters, and at one point, the fledgling street magicians of yore. Needless to say, the supernaturals realized they needed to start keeping themselves a little more discreet or lose their spot at the top of the food chain. Thus, the first hound was chosen, the enforcer of the will of the one in charge. Every leader needs to have someone who will call them out when they're wrong. This is the story of my hound. I'm currently at City Hall for a monthly gathering of the Queen City Supernatural recognized leaders. There's Tim, leader of the Vamps, who looks right thrilled to see a human at the table. Granuelle, the Siren Queen, who doesn't seem all that miffed I'm here. Technically, she's the other newbie at these events. We've worked together sometimes to understand the rules of the game. Zero Day, who is currently finding new ways to break a few rules and try and get away with as much as possible before her madness decides to feed him to Ugly. Fleck, who looks like he's got a right beef with me, keeps glancing over at me and clenching his fists like he wants to punch me straight through a wall. Which I reckon he could do if he decides the rules weren't worth following. Madeline's at the head of the table, keeping the peace with a mixture of words and force. I can hear her nails drumming on the table. And of course, as the most recently recognized leader of the Queen City Soups, the first human ever to be recognized sitting at the table, me. You know that scene in that one space movie with the galactic trade arguments? This is worse.
I still wish to understand why we let our food sit at the table with us.
Pretty sure he's talking to you, Zero.
Swap all the UV-filtered bulbs out at the sports box, and suddenly everyone loses their minds.
You did what?
Ugly, please send a maintenance crew to the sports box to ensure Zero Day is just being a nuisance.
Calling now.
Tim, Valentine is a recognized member of this council. He has not only saved the Queen City from the abyssal monster known as Envasri, but with the recent wave of street magicians who've arrived, his leadership has become necessary. It seems whatever has happened with the abyss and Valentine's decision to disturb the cosmic balance has resulted in the awakening of magical potential in humans.
So the humans can summon a few tricks? We've been around for centuries and will not be displaced.
Sorry there, Twi.
Don't you dare finish that sentence.
Just remember, Tim, anytime you want to finish that beatdown you took at Sanctuary, we can step outside and do this like proper gentlemen.
Let me know when you find a gentleman to fight your battle for you. Then I will crush him under the heel of my Santonis.
Moving on. Flack has brought forth a grievance with Valentine in regards to harboring the outcast Riza. She was banished by the Gaslight Shifters and has returned to this city. His hound claims Valentine willingly offered Riza hospitality. Valentine, what do you say about this?
Riza helped save Katarina. She rose to fight for Grand Sirens and is currently assisting in my investigation into the monster known as Leech with a dirt witch and another shifter.
Another shifter? This other shifter has not been recognized by my pack, Madeleine. I demand we be allowed to address this immediately.
Sorry, you can't.
Why?
Valentine invited Riza. Riza invited Savvy. Meaning, as long as Riza is in good with the street magicians, aka Whaley here, you're out of luck.
Flack looks ready to throw a chair at Zero Day. Say what you will about that trog, when it comes to finding loopholes in the Accords, you want him on your side.
The Sirens also extend their hospitality to Riza. If she wishes to remain in the city, she does so with my blessing as well.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Much to my chagrin, Zero is correct. Riza is here under the aegis of the street magicians in regards to a current situation. Under the rules of hospitality, her pack is granted the same rights as her.
She can still be brought before me and judged as an outcast of my pack.
Yes. If your hound can convince Riza to return for judgment, the Queen City Supernaturals will not interfere, but that is a situation between you and Miss White Flash.
As they continue to bicker about Riza, I see a few grains of sand building up on my table. I brush them to the side, but more sand is spilling from my sleeve. I look around and realize that sand has drifted into the conference room, piling up in the corners and crunching underfoot. Tim's hair is full of sand, but it looks like he doesn't even notice. Ugly really needs to step up the cleaning around here, Your Madness. The beach motif isn't working. As I'm about to make an even more inappropriate comment, I realize the others are moving slower. Something is forcing the world around me to stop. I've known plenty of magic tricks to speed up time and slow it down, mostly meant to annoy or distract a mark for a moment. This is something else, something powerful and angry. The heavy oak doors slide open. More sand spills out into the room. A figure emerges from the building dunes, the long, scraggly hairs crusted with salt, and a tattered, rotting dress hangs from bony, grey flesh. One cloudy eye stares out through the nest of hair.
Red Jacket, you have his stench about you. The liar, the betrayer, the thief.
What kind of monster are you?
There are monsters inside all of us. I see yours inside you right now. I simply wish to use a little of my pet's power to see who holds the thief's mantle now.
Finn Ballantyne, detective for hire, General Bastard. Nice to meet you.
Your name is worthless, thief. You do not deserve to be remembered. Every member of your bloodline has been nothing more than that. I see everything inside you. Your rage, your envy, your guilt. You stopped the watchdog, you saved the girl, and now you think your suffering has ended.
The woman begins to cough up salt water, and more sand splotches wetly in front of her.
Yet I feel that rage and despair inside you. What if I could stop this? What if the first thief never was? With my power, I could change things. Your mother would grow old with a loving husband and a son who didn't set sail halfway across the world. You and Katerina would be free to live a life. You'd have children, grow old together. You would never know magic's touch.
I've heard the offer before. I'll pass, thank you.
Accept or reject as you will. Your choices mean less than your name. Once I tried to drag you and your little sprite back to me, but now I will come to you. I will ride the storm that rages over my grave. And when I arrive, the thief and all his works will drown.
The creature dissolves into a pile of seawater and sand sinking into the floor.
Ballantyne?
What? Sorry, I'm spaced out there. It must have been something about Flack's witty rhetoric.
The final item on the agenda is your hound. Have you chosen one yet?
No, not exactly.
Not exactly?
I'm weighing options, evaluating all the alternatives.
Way faster, Ballantyne. I expect you to present your hound to the council at our next meeting. If there is no other business, that concludes the monthly meeting of the Queen City Accords. Ballantyne, please stick around.
Finally!
I sit quietly as the others file out, feeling like a delinquent child. Tim and Flack glare daggers at me while they step out.
What happened to you in the meeting? You were a million miles away.
Honestly, I think I may need to lay off the murder buzz cider. It's got a wicked afterbite.
You are a terrible liar, Valentine. The wards in this room are still buzzing. I don't know what happened, but I can't have uncontrolled magic intruding on this space.
I'm awake and aware.
We've got other problems. Flack is not going to let this go. Even if the rules are technically on your side, you're going to have to make a case for Risa and her fledgling pack.
We need her. There are new monsters roaming the streets, and Risa's got my back.
I'll do what I can to stall things, throw in some bureaucratic tape, perhaps reminders of other obscure regulations, but I cannot appear to be showing any favoritism. Do not make me regret this. I won't be the one who pays the price if this goes wrong. Now, what about your hound? Have you at least got a few ideas? You must ensure it is a fellow street magician. Your secretary cannot be your hound.
Well, I wasn't completely thinking... All right, I was.
What about Eris? She seems to be able to keep you in check.
We're meeting for coffee. I'll bring it up then.
Good. I'm giving you some leeway on this too. But you need to understand that your position on the council is not assured. I can't keep Tim and Flack off you forever. Prove you're worthy of this, Valentine. Make it easier for me to throw my full support behind you.
I gotcha. Thanks for giving me the wiggle room, Mads.
Never say wiggle in front of me again.
In normal size. Got it. Gonna go now.
Valentine.
What?
I've been hearing some strange reports lately. Supernaturals going berserk. Quiet creatures who have turned vicious. Have you heard anything about this?
Not that I know of. Want me to look into it?
I would appreciate it, but please keep it quiet for now.
This sounds like something with a paycheck attached to it.
As a member of the council, you have a monthly paycheck.
Well, yeah, but this is... Wait, I get paid to be on the council?
How? How did you survive into adulthood, Valentine?
My rugged good looks, my charm, my intelligence, my impeccable fashion sense.
If I hire you, will you stop listing things about yourself?
Your money buys my silence, Madeline.
If only that were true. I swear you're just as bad as the pixies sometimes. See you at the next meeting.
Invasory, what the hell was that?
Try your best to annoy Madeline and succeeded mightily.
No, during the meeting, with the sand and the lady making threats.
I'm tired. You need to stop spiking your murder buzz.
You didn't see it?
Obviously not. What did this lady say?
She came out of a pool out of sand. I tried to be friendly, but she was extremely rude. Kept calling me a thief and threatened to drown me, but not before she offered to fix my life.
Why is it that everyone you know is always trying to fix you or kill you? You should take a long look at yourself, Valentine.
I asked myself the same question. Anyway, I got the sense that she knew me. Me, exactly, but she knew something about my magic, where it's from. She knew you were locked up in my head. On top of all of that, it sounded like she knew Threadripper.
Ooh, ominous. Bring me the new Ghostbusters movie and we will talk more.
Ghostbusters?
Yes, I want to see if those pathetic, aging humans finally get what's coming to them.
I'm slipping into the local sushi joint me and Eris like to frequent at least once a week. The owner's actually a kappa who came from Japan. Eris is already waiting in our usual booth, her boots set by the sliding door. A pair of dynamite rolls are lined up between us. Greetings, darling.
Hey!
How was the council meeting?
Flack is still holding a grudge. Tim's still Tim, and Zero is... Well... We should stop by the sports box after, just avoid a situation.
Let me guess. Zero Day threatened to swap the UV filters again.
I think he does it just to see Tim react. Oh, and Madeline is putting screws to me. I need to find a hound as well.
No.
What? Did you think I was going to ask you to be my hound? Me? Ask you? I mean, would you?
I wouldn't be a good hound, Finn.
You're good at keeping me on the up and up.
You need someone other than me. First off, I don't want to work with my boyfriend. If you need me for anything else, me and my sister will be there and ready. Besides, most of my people's skills were worn off during my time... away.
Eris goes a little quiet. She doesn't like to talk about her past. When my magic awoke, my mother was there to help me through the worst of it. Eris, on the other hand, her parents had her locked up because her shadow started talking to her. Her eyes have that faraway look she gets when the horrors are on a replay loop. In this moment, her beauty and vulnerability almost choke me up. She hates herself when this happens, thinks it makes her look weak. Nothing could be further from the truth. I need to change the topic before I get all soppy. So, Anne's got a piece at the Bulk, Will. Wanna go check it out after this?
Sure. Has she looked a little bit tired lately to you? I went and visited her yesterday and she was sleeping. I saw a pile of Murder Buzz cans in her waistband as well. I didn't think she slept or actually needed caffeine.
Huh. You know, I don't remember ever seeing her drink anything more than tea and sleep, no. We continue chatting happily over fresh tuna rolls and noodles. Afterwards, we wandered down to the gallery at the Balkwell Center to check out Anne's painting. It's a self-portrait with a sketchbook and a set of ink-stained wings. Title? Hope. I always admire Anne. Maybe she'd be my hound. Nah, she's a goddess, not a street magician. Me and Eris head home. I kiss her goodbye out front of her flat. As much as I'd rather stay there with her and... Well, you don't need to know those details. I promised Ripper I'd pick up the new Monkeymon game. Not to mention that new Ghost Blasters movie for Anniversary. I head to the closest big box atrocity and pull my duster around myself. Something about these places always give me the heebies. Just as I'm picking up Anniversary's movie, I hear a set of voices across the aisle. Katarina and Jackie are out there picking out some odds and ends. I haven't seen Kat since I set her free and gained my new house guest.
Thanks so much for this, Jackie.
No problem. I do love takeout, so having someone around who could actually cook would be amazing. Turns out using magic to make dinner doesn't work the way it always does in the movies. Plus, Dr. DePaul likes you too.
I still can't believe he can say DePaul.
Yeah, magic trick gone wrong. I haven't figured out the counterspell for that one yet.
Hey, Jackie. Kat.
Valentine.
Jackie gives me a hug. It's strange to see her dressed up in everyday clothes. I'm so used to her stage attire / battle robes. Kat keeps far away from me, like I'm radioactive. She starts picking out random objects from the shelves, turning them over in her hands, and shoving them back into place. How was your trip?
It was great. I met with an old friend, networked some shifter stuff for Reza, grabbed Griff a bottle of his favorite rum. There's a few new street magicians who may arrive in the city soon. I've sent you the paperwork already.
I have paperwork?
Yes.
Kat, I'm kind of surprised to see you're still in the city.
Yeah, well, when your ID is 30 years out of date and your parents don't even remember you exist, it's hard to get around.
If you need help, you can always call. You can come to me.
I have help. Jackie's letting me crash at her place.
That's... I'm glad to hear that.
She helped me get a job at Sanctuary, helping Nyx with supernaturals who need someone to talk to about the human side of the world. And your green pixie friend is getting me a new identity.
I hope you're keeping your name.
My first name.
You should pick a cool last name. Like Bond. How about Moneypenny?
I'll come up with something. I just need to start again.
I feel a sting in my guts at that phrase, start again. Cat was stuck paying my bill.
We all have monsters inside us.
I push the sting, which is rapidly evolving into a rather painful drill, back down. Cat, I...
It's Katarina now, Valentine. Actually, you... We're kind of busy, so maybe you and Jackie can talk about your work stuff later.
Maybe we should do that. Valentine, let's catch up tomorrow.
Kat's already walking away. She doesn't even give me a look as she goes. Jackie sends me a little wave and hurries to catch up. I turn and head deeper into the store. I don't even know where I'm going. There's a vague plan in my head to go and linger by the dishwashers until I'm certain they're gone.
Valentine?
Katarina?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to run off like that.
It's alright. I get it.
No, I don't think you do.
I wasn't trying to...
I need you to know something. When you rescued me from the Abyss, you wanted to know if I hated you. And I told you that it was okay... that I forgave you.
I remember.
That was a lie.
A lie? Kat, no.
You're the worst thing that ever happened to me, Valentine. I have no family, no future, and no one to look out for me except for Jackie.
I'm sorry. There wasn't a day I didn't try to find a way to get you back.
You mean when you weren't brooding or at a bar trying to forget your problems? Maybe when you made friends with that traitorous goddess who used to be my best friend. I had to watch while Imbasri hurt people. She tortured my brothers for years, turned him into a weapon, and killed him with my hands. I lost everyone because you had to be Mr. Devil May Care. I was praying, help me, please. You claim you saved people? Why not me? Now you have the monster that stole my life riding in your head. Also, you can keep using your magic?
I'm sorry.
You think you're some kind of hero?
No, I don't. Katarina's hand closes around my neck. She raises me up over her head with supernatural strength.
Give me your... Fear, worthless thief!
You aren't...
Slow on the uptake, little man. Let's see what lives in that mind of yours.
The thing wearing Katarina's face plunges a hand into my chest and pulls out something dark and slimy. A wriggling, shrieking mass. Nightmares start pouring out of the hole left behind, some of them with my face. Jackie! I can see Jackie running down the aisle towards me, her wand already spinning out lengths of chain that grab onto my nightmare figures. Jackie mutters a few words and pulls her magician's top hat out of thin air. The chains whip around, pull my nightmares into the hat. She snaps her fingers and the hat vanishes.
Like a rabbit, but more nightmare-y.
Magicians. The bottom of the magical barrel.
You don't scare me, whatever the hells you are. Stick around, it'll lock you in with Valentine's nightmares.
And don't you dare come at me again with Katarina's face!
Why would I, when I have so many other faces to torture you with, thief? You'll see me again.
The creature laughs as Katarina's face melts away. For an instant, I see its true appearance. A mannequin blankness before it melts into the floor.
Are you okay, Valentine?
Not really. That thing knew exactly how to get to me. And its face. It's like the thing that was attacking supernaturals and draining their powers.
This one didn't drain you, though.
No. But it's the same kind of magic at work. I'm gonna need your help in this case.
You have been listening to the Graveyard Tapes, Houndcast, Part 1. Written by Dustin Gray. Edited by Aidan Morgan, Angela Dumalag, Nikki Ewart, and James Nichols. Audio engineering by Robin of Psychonadia. Produced by Brianna Jean Teuber. Cast, Chase Hunter as Valentine. Devon Barse as Tim the Vampire. Nikki Ewart as Madeline, Mvasri, and Eris. Angela Dumalag as Zero Day and Katarina. Brianna Jean Teuber as Jackie Smoke. And Aidan Morgan as Ugly, or possibly a Snuffleupagus.